I want to try to preach tonight on Jesus in Hebrews. After all, he's the message of the entire Bible. Of course, Hebrews shows us the progressive revelation of God in chapter 1 and verse 1 and following. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We go ahead to tell us in verse 3 that this Son is the express image of the invisible God. Everything's upheld by the word of his power. He holds all things together. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 about him, this is the person. The person is made known, the person of Christ. Of course, all through the Bible, but I'm just going to mention a few places in Hebrews that the person of Christ, first of all, is mentioned in chapter 1. In Colossians 1, says that he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him, in him, were all things created, and by him all things consist. Whatever's in heaven, and earth, and under the earth, and dominions, thrones, principalities, powers, everything was created by him and for him. John said, without him, there was not anything made that was made. So he is God manifest in the flesh. He's the God-man. Without controversy, great the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. God was. 1 Timothy 3, John 1:14, said the Word was made flesh, that is, the living Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. The wit God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And so God come down in Christ. Are you glad for that? Are you glad for the person of Jesus Christ that's made known in the book of Hebrews as well as the other scriptures? No wonder Paul said we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the message of the Bible. Christ is. And we don't preach ourselves. We don't even preach our doctrine. I've been accused different places. You know, well, Mitchell's just preaching his doctrine. Well, Christ said my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. And so, if you preach the Bible, you've got to preach Christ. And of course, you're to be sound in doctrine, mainly about Christ. He's the eternal deity. Amen. He come down as the Son of Man. He himself said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 14 and verse 9. Now, he's the express image of the invisible God. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. And so he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is, Revelation 1:8 says, Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. He saith not three gods, just one God in three manifestations. Now, if you have the Son, you have the Father also. And, of course, you have the Spirit of God. God the Father and Son dwells in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the book of Hebrews makes known his person. Then here we read about his punishment. We see Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels by the suffering of death? Crowned with going out of it, he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I believe Christ died physically. I put it in the flesh. He also, his soul was made an offering for sin. He bare our sins in his own body, but he became our sins in his soul. You believe that, don't you? He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. And Isaiah 53 in verses 10 and 11 says, yet it pleased the Lord, that's an office trick of redemption, it pleased the Lord as judge of the universe to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. That is, the Father's judge has put the Son to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Not just his body, but his soul. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the praise of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In other words, he come down here to do something, and friend, he got it done. Amen. When he said it's finished, he finished what he came down here to do. You're looking at one preacher that believes that God predestinated this way. God foreordained this way. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, without spot, without blemish, manifest for us in these last times. When he went to Calvary, he went there to taste death for us. He offered himself to God for us. Praise God. He took our sins far away. And if you know him, your sins will never be remembered against you anymore tonight. Praise God. I want to put a shout in your soul. I tell you, this righteous servant, God said, speaking of his son, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Oh, if God ever opens your understanding, and you ever been made able to see the beauty of Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death at Calvary under the wrath of God, where you say, what is wrath? It's God's anger. Amen. There's no wrath in God, but it's the wrath of God. Amen. God's not wrathful in himself, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteous. You know what God done to his son at Calvary? He unloosed his wrath upon his son because of sin. Yes, sir. And God Almighty made him to be sin for us under wrath. Now, when we come to God in Christ, you can't get there no other way. No man cometh to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. I'm pretty dogmatic on that. A lot of folks turn me off. That rules out old Papa Paul, the Pope. That rules out all the little old rabbis. That there's not one Jehovah Witness saved, not one. Amen. They believe that Jesus is the created God. Unless you believe Jesus is God, you cannot be saved. He is the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and his name is Wonderful and Counselor. Hallelujah to God. You say, well, I don't think you ought to be that dogmatic about it. If I was physically able, I'd cry a whole lot louder than I'm crying. All these false gods in our day, friends, taking this outfit for hell at a breakneck speed. Put it down. Amen. He's the Savior. He's the one and only Savior. Not the Baptist. Not the church. No, no. The church is not the Savior. I believe in the church. But salvation's in Jesus Christ. And then you ought to get in a good Bible preaching church if you're in Christ. That's the way it is. And so he took the punishment of sinners. He took our punishment. And he was punished by the sovereign as well as sinners. God charged our sin to the person of his son, and then punished our sin in his son till divine justice was satisfied. He died as a sinner. Christ died as a sinner. He was not a sinner, but he died like a sinner. He was made the serpent on the pole. It's not just a little drop of blood here and there. If you'd have passed by Calvary that day, you'd not recognize him as being a man. He suffered hell on the cross. Suffered wrath on the cross, paying for our sins. Bearing our sins, taking our sins far away. His soul, not just his body, his soul was made an offering for sin. He died physically, and he died spiritually, and he died the second death. He is separated from God. That's what hell is. That is in redemptive work. If the scene was so bad that God wouldn't let nobody look in when it blacked out and God himself didn't look in. Christ went into outer darkness by himself with our sins and stayed there 3 hours under the wrath of God, suffering the pain of wrath just like the sinner suffers in hell. When he cried, I thirst, he cried just like the rich man from the flame of hell. That's what hell is, the wrath of God. Somebody said, I believe in the literal hell. One of them said, there's literal fire here. I said, I don't know if you can prove that or not, but there's some kind of fire there that can't be quenched. There's some kind of fire there that is still dark. Amen. It's outer darkness because God's light. And where there's no God, there's no light. And so the light goes out in hell. People's in outer darkness forever and forever. Spiritual darkness away from God forever. Amen. So, there's the person of Christ, there's the punishment of Christ, and then think about the priesthood of Christ. The priesthood of Christ. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. He is the high priest of our profession. He is the one and only high priest. Everybody believes that, don't you? Amen. Saying that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the finger by infirmity, who is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then on the basis of that, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. And so there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, as the one and only high priest. I said here last night, you don't have to pray to a long robe rabbi through a knot hole. Give him $20. There's one high priest in heaven to represent the whole world. Is that so? Amen. And such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He needeth not as those other priests to make offering and atonement for first for his sins into the sin of the people. For this he did once when he offered himself to God. Amen. He offered the perfect sacrifice to God. Hallelujah. And now he appears in the presence of God for us as our one and only high priest. And all them other fellows is phonies. Every one of them phonies. That's right. Everyone in fellas, can you imagine some Bible preacher coming out with a long robe, big sleeve, garb on with a gold chain hanging around his neck and a cross on it? You say, well, that looks real sanctimonious. Yeah, it's as sanctimonious as the devil. That's what that is. And you'd be surprised the multiplied burden of people following that stuff. Amen. One fellow said, well, I don't think you ought to throw off on anybody's religion. I said, you think like the devil. Every religion will take you to hell. You need to lose your religion to get salvation. When you get Christ, you will get salvation. Praise God. And when fella gets saved, he's got just enough to know there's just one high priest between God and men. And you don't care how mean I talk about the Pope and all them little rabbis. And in fact, one fella called me today and said, I dear, said that fella that left the church and said he didn't like the preaching. Because, you know, he has Mormon background and don't want you to tell him about them priests. I said, tell him there's a lot of churches around, don't tell him about them. He said, did you go after him and pat him on the back? No, I didn't go after him and compromise with him, and I won't compromise with him the next time. Hey, man, it's not worth his salt that don't preach Jesus Christ. In the New Testament church, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Be it known unto you, therefore, men of them, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins through this man. There's not any salvation anywhere else and no priest anywhere else. Just one. I'm making myself clear if I am smile a little bit. Or say, oh, me, or amen, or something. The priesthood of Christ, the book of Hebrews, is about his priesthood. I don't know about you, but I like that. Then there's the power of Christ in chapter 6, and begin at verse 18. That by two immutable things which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. There's the power of the anchor. The anchor holds. My anchor holds. You better get anchored in this day of shallowness, in this day of worldliness, in this day of apostasy and great falling away and compromise, in this day, my friend, of demonology and Satan worship and all kind of religion are running its course, you better get anchored in Jesus Christ, for my anchor holds tonight. Hallelujah to God. One brother said, do you ever go back on the Lord? I said, no, I started back and I would have went back if I hadn't had a powerful anchor. Amen. My anchor holds. Praise God. I fled for refuge 41 years ago and laid hold. That's what faith is. Saving faith is laying hold of Jesus Christ as your only hope to never turn loose. Amen. I've been a believer ever since I believed. Amen. There ain't no such thing as I've been saved once. For I was saved the way back yonder. If you've ever been saved, you're saved now. He's a present Savior, praise God. He's a present high priest. He's all we got, more than that, he's all we need. Let that bunch of crazy charismatics have the tongues and the slayings. One fellow said, you glad them churches out there, ain't you? I said, yes, I'm glad. If they wasn't out there, we'd have to put up with that crowd. Let them go over there if that's what they want. Amen. We know better than that. Saved people know better than that kind of stuff. It's modern day sorcery and witchcraft. Amen. Hell, nothing of them fellas talking about speaking the created word. They're as much of an Adamic man as you and me are. Amen. And their gospel's wrong, and I hate every false way. There's not one ounce of charismatic movement in me. I'm separate from it all the way. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know it's not spiritual? I said, because it's not scriptural. They got my favorite fellas on there, hadn't had a haircut in 6 months with the gold chain around the neck trying to preach. And they got women with pantsuits on with enough makeup on. I said, look like their window shades had run up and down when they bat their eyes on that trying to preach. I tell you what it is, it's second-handed Hollywoodism. And you better believe what I'm going to tell you, it's a getting in the Baptist churches too. I've been in the Baptist churches where you thought you was in a charismatic meeting. Amen. You say, what do you do there? I preach like I'm a preaching here. You say, what do they do? They do what all charismatics do. They get mad and run away. God help us. God help us to understand that Jesus Christ is the power we need. He's the one we need. If he's not the most precious person in your life tonight, I tell you, you're on the wrong road. Rather unto you but believe he is precious. Of the disobedient, the stone was just alive, neither the builders, the saints made the head of their corner. Praise God, if you have him, you're a lively stone, built up a spiritual house, offer up spiritual sacrifices, and it's pleasing to God if you offer them up through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to do, offering up a spiritual sacrifice. And God accepts my preaching. A lot of folks don't accept it, but God likes for me to preach like that. You know, God enjoys me preaching against all them fellas. One fellow said, well, I wouldn't have said that if I had you. I said, that may be the reason you ain't up here preaching. I'd say it. I'm not a bit afraid to say it. I'd say it on their TV if they'd let me on there. They won't let me on radio, let alone TV. One fellow, I think I told you, I sent a tape when I'm up to Louisville. The fella called back, his agent's trying to get me on there. He said, well, I don't think that'd go over too well up here. I said, don't feel bad about it. Don't go over too well anywhere. Most people don't like it. But there's a few old-time Christians that like it. And there's a few honest-hearted sinners that knows it's so. Of course, there's a great crowd in the green. I don't pay much thanks for them. Then there's the purging power of blood Christ in chapter 9. Of Hebrews chapter 9, that the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So that blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. And it's sufficient. See, that blood's been set forth to be a propitiation, the blood sprinkled on the altar in heaven now. The death of Christ wouldn't, he said, the death of Christ wouldn't have done to have none of the blood. I believe every drop of blood Jesus had was shed. I believe every drop of it was shed. And God did the blood on the altar for the atonement. Is that what it said? Now, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Ephesians 1:7, in whom he have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14. Forgiveness and salvation, forgiveness is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I can give you a lot of verses. Romans 5:9, much more than being justified by his blood, not by his death. By his blood. His death wouldn't have done it, hadn't been for the blood, the pure blood. Now I believe he entered into heaven. Hebrews 9:12 said he entered into heaven itself, not with the blood of calves and goats, but by his own blood. He entered in and obtained eternal redemption for us. And the Old Testament tabernacle, it is a picture, a figure of the true. That's what it says. And it was showing what something in heaven like that tabernacle down here. And Jesus Christ went in as the high priest heaven with his own blood, sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat and sat down. Amen. At the right hand of God. That's what it says. And when we talk about being washed in the blood, if I understand it right, we come to Christ. I tell you, as a sinner, and believe in him, and God, for Christ's sake, forgives our sin on the basis of the blood, and the blood judicially washes away our sin, and washes the record clean in heaven. And God puts on our record in heaven the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and regenerates us in our heart. Amen? And spiritually robes us with the righteousness of Christ. And when we say washed in the blood, we mean the record's been washed clean. That's what I believe it's talking about. One lady testified, and she said, the Lord literally come down, quick washed me in his blood from head to toe. I said, no, he didn't. You just thought he did. That's not what it's talking about. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, that's a judicial act. That's a judicial act when you come as a sinner. You prayed guilty before God. It's God's law that you broke. Repentance is toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Repentance is not toward Christ. Repentance is toward God as a judge. Faith is toward Christ as a Savior. Is that so? So it's God's law that we broke. You offend the law in one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. So if you broke the law, you're under the curse of the law. There's only one who gets up under the curse of that law. That is him who went to Calvary and was cursed under the law for you. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's the only way he could redeem us. But he can redeem us from the curse of the law. And so when we flee from the vengeance of the law and lay hold on Jesus Christ, God for Christ's sake forgives our sins. And when we accept his Son, God accepts us. And God makes us accepted in the beloved. Raise us up together now and seats us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think that's why, ain't it? Now, he could do all that, and you would never know it if he didn't regenerate and quicken you inside to let you know he's done something in heaven. His justification's in heaven, sanctification's in your heart. That's right, ain't it? Now, we rejoice because of that. We have the witness. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has a witness in himself. Now, you don't have a witness just because you went through a few verses. Somebody's supposed to lead you to Jesus with a few verses. You know, that's where we've got off into now, you know. One fellow, they come to the front, and first thing you know, what did you come for? Did you come for salvation? Yeah. Yeah, well, do you understand how to get saved? Well, you ought not to ask that question. Nobody understands it. There ain't nobody understands the birth. You think a woman has a child, she can't even explain the birth. Don't look at me like that. I know what we've got off into the last 40 years. I was here when he got here. I remember when he come in. We give everybody the same little 6 and 7 and you pray this prayer and I guarantee you now to be saved.
That's right.
Nobody give you authority to guarantee anybody to be saved.
Right.
You don't have any authority from God to tell anybody they're saved. If they ever find out they're saved, God has to let them know it.
Right.
Jesus didn't give everybody the same little 6 and 7. He met people at the point of their rebellion. I think I'm going to say that every night, Pastor. He didn't tell that fellow in Mark chapter 10 to come running near them. Here, if you read John 3:16, Romans 10:9-13, praise God you're saved if you pray this prayer. He didn't tell him that. He talked about his money. And when he talked about his money, he went away sorrowful. Because he had great riches. When he talked to that bunch of disciples and followers of feasted and loaves, he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And when he saw something like that, many were offended and went away, followed him no more. And he got to be with a Samaritan woman. He didn't talk about leaving some blessings. He talked about having more than husbands than you should have. He followed the life of Jesus Christ. He met people at their rebellion. He crossed them right where the rebellion was. We've got a church full of folks that saved themselves. They've been told if they prayed such and such a prayer, they're saved. Nothing you could say or nothing you could pray would save you. He's the Savior. Well, don't the Bible say, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved? Yeah, but that's not all it says. It says, how shall they call on him in whom thou have not believed? Calling don't make you a believer. You call because you're already a believer. See, I have to cross that about every day. As I see this happening over our country, there's people making professions in our church. And maybe shouting around the altar and shedding a few crocodile tears, and maybe go as far as to be baptized, you think they're real, and some of them don't never even come back. And we've got off so far now, we've got to baptize them in the same service, so probably they won't come back. And we'll pop our gallows in and talk about how many folks that's getting saved. Listen, repentance is so shallow, conviction is so shallow, and faith is so shallow now, and Christianity is so shallow that it's pathetic. I hate to be a doomsday prophet, but I'm going to tell you, almost everybody in Knoxville, Tennessee thinks they're saved. They're drinking whiskey and they're shacking up like shepherd dogs, buying lottery tickets. Amen. And cussing God and cussing the preacher. They could care less about the Bible, anything God's got anything to do with. You can't go to heaven traveling that route. That's just the way it is. The purging blood of Christ is taught in Hebrews. Let me hurry up here. You about to endure to the end. There's the place of Christ. Where is he at now? Well, Christ is not in the holy place made with hands, which is the figure of the truth, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. When he had by himself, this man, like he had offered one sacrifice for sins, ever sat down to the right hand of God. I'm talking about the place of Christ. He's up there now, and if you're saved, you're up there with him. Spiritually speaking, positionally up there with him, him with Christ in God. That'll put a shout in your soul, but not something wrong with your shouting. You know, this whole outfit now down here, this whole world system, they hate us, religious and all otherwise. You know who they hate? The right-wing radicals. Now, you go along to get along, just, you know, just please everybody you get in, they don't hate you much. But if you'll be a fundamental and take the Bible and believe it, be an extremist, a wild-eyed extremist, you believe just one way of salvation, this one Savior, this outfit, and they hate you. But you know what they call a message like I'm preaching? I'd call it a hate message. You know, they kill these sodomites now, and they call it a hate crime. All crimes are hate crimes. I believe I'll say this every night, too. All them sodomites ought to be drove out in the ocean with bamboo poles and tell them to swim for it. They're polluting this land. Numbers 25, you'll find there, God told them to cut their heads off. You say, well, don't you love that body? I love that body. I sure do. I hate what's destroying our land. Now, I can tell that grieves some of you squeak. You didn't like me to say that. You say, well, can't they be saved? Do you know of any of them getting saved? If you do, I wouldn't see them. Most of them still wearing their earrings. They're practicing sodomite according to the scripture. It's a reprobate. Sodomies don't cause reprobation. Sodom is evidence of reprobation. They're not born that way. God made men upright. So without any invention. Going the wrong way when they refused to retain God in their knowledge. We went the wrong way and wound up where we're at now. And TV's promoter of that stuff. Most television now, they promoting all this intermarriage, different colors, and this same-sex marriage, and some of them old talk shows are the wickedest thing this side of hell. They make more money than anybody. Do you know that? It's a ruin in our country, folks. And you know what? I'm going to cry out against it. I'm going to put one down and say, well, our church wouldn't like that much. I said, your church would like a lot of churches. Take a lot of folks don't want you to say anything about their idol gods. One man said to me, well, I'll make a good preacher. Said, you know, Brother Mitchell, they might wind up with taking our Bibles. I said, we wouldn't care for that as long as they don't get our TVs. That's what we want to keep. Amen. They said about right. Lord, help us. Folks have made an idol of that thing. I said, well, God help us. You know it's idolatry. Rebellion's taught on that. Oh, they teach children on that rebellion against their parents. All that stuff's rebellion. Not all them news commentators, they're atheists. They slant the news their direction. They won't give the news straight. You don't believe nothing the news media says. They don't give nothing straight. They don't know nothing straight. I'm not making a political speech. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Well, I tell you something else you find in Hebrews. Not only is the place Christ is right now, but the promise of Christ. So Christ once offered to bear the sin of many, none did but look for him. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Are you looking for him to come today? If you are, you're living like he might come today. Everybody's looking for him, living like he might come today. Yet a little while, he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back in the beach, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And so Christ is coming. Amen. His promise is he's coming. If I go, I will come again. Every man hath this hope in him, purifies himself, even as he is pure. We're looking for him to come. I believe he's going to come in days like these. I don't know how bad it'll get between now and 2000. It's going to get rough, looks like. It's going to get rough from here on out. I've always said, seems to me like, that things are going to get in a state of chaos and upheaval. They won't be able to do nothing with it. And that's when the weeping and wailing starts. And it's about all over with the crying now. It's about all over with the weeping and wailing. You say, well, I'm not saved. The problem is, most folks are not interested in getting saved. If you're interested, you need to run for mercy now. If you're interested, you need to run for shelter. You better not stop for something short. You better get to Jesus Christ. You better get born again. You better get washed in the blood. Listen, if your religion won't work now and bring you back Sunday night, don't expect to take you to heaven, did I? Had our way, you got any of them here? Had our way, they some church members, they wouldn't come back Sunday night if the Apostle Paul resurrected and was going to preach. Now, I tell you what they'll do. They'll ride four-wheelers 4 hours, hunt deer sign. I know if somebody's got arthritis so bad they can't sit on a padded pew for an hour and a half. They can sit on a 24-inch square piece of plywood on a deer stand 4 hours on a cold, frosty morning. Amen. That's right. Well, you didn't think I'd notice that, did you? Amen. You better believe on. You know what folks do? What they want to do. When a fella gets right with God and gets heaven sweet and he'll soul, you can't hardly run him off from church. He likes to come back Sunday. He'll come in with a spring in his step and a smile on his face and joy in his heart about 6 o'clock Sunday evening. That's right. Amen. He'll even get there sometime for Sunday school. Oh, them fellas that test the preacher, if you don't let them out by 12, most of them don't even come to Sunday school. They come dragging in 10 after 11. One fella said to me, I was preaching, one said, what would you do? I said, I'd preach at 10 and preach again at 11. Nothing says you have to have Sunday school every Sunday. I wouldn't let them know what I was going to do. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord's a coming. There's not many people looking for the Lord to come. I'm talking about not many church members looking for him to come. We got a whole lot on the sign, but not much in the heart. I've seen him sides, you know, the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James Version. I told one church, I said, it'd be wonderful if we had much in our heart we got on the sign. Amen. If we got that in our heart, we'd be rejoicing in hope. Ain't that what he said? Rejoicing in hope, you're rejoicing because he's promised to come back and give you a new body. How long has it been since you rejoiced because he's coming? That's what he said, though. Yeah, a lot of times then he said rejoice in hope for the glory of God. That's talking about the second coming, the resurrection, you're going to get a new body. Shout because you're going to get a new body. Oh, so I know some people are afraid they'll get the flesh. They don't worry about the flesh. They go to the beach in August and put on a bikini. One guy said to me, I'm about through preaching. He said, me and my family is going down to the beach in July. I said, why would a Christian want to go to the beach in July? Why would a Christian want to go? He said, well, it don't bother me. Now, if it didn't bother us, if adopted sex and nudity didn't bother us, Paul wouldn't have told the preachers, the young preachers, to flee fornication. He just said, go on, boys, it won't bother you. No, you just kid ourselves. There's a reason God put modesty in that book. Ain't that right? There's a reason he said for us to have our eyes sealed. Well, out of the body's eye. He's not just putting black spots on white paper. He's warning us. The danger of this flesh. Don't have any covetous in the flesh. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's what the book says. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You will just get to acting like people you hang around. You can take a good preacher, a good fundamental preacher, let him hang around a bunch of compromising while the first thing you know, he'll get like them. That's the reason I believe he's coming out from among them. Have no fellowship with dumb people works of darkness. Withdraw yourself, never a brother that walketh disorderly. That's what the book says. I take that pretty serious myself, don't you? Now, this float along, you'd be surprised if that preacher just preached to get to preach again. Yeah, we find out which way the flow's going, go with it. You know what Jeremiah done? He crossed every one of them every time. The only minister God uses effectively is the one that crosses every day. When John the Baptist come out of the wilderness, all them big boys go over there at the synagogue and the temple. Old John come out, he's crossing everybody. He's the only preacher around preaching repentance. That's right. But some come out there want to be baptized, he wouldn't do it. That's right. He said, bring forth fruit meat worthy of repentance. That's suitable repentance. The word meat means suitable. God didn't make Adam a helpmate, he made him a helpmeet. I don't tell anybody that these evolution fellers, there was not one in the animal kingdom found suitable. Now, if he'd have come from a monkey, they'd have got another monkey or a baboon or something. God made one suitable for Adam. Now, Colossians 1 said that God's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Made us suitable in the new birth.
sinner. Repentance has to be suitable to God. Bring forth meat, fruit, strength. Bring forth suitable repentance. That's what John said. Now, if I'm saying it right, if I offend you, my repentance has to be suitable to you. I've got to repent till it suits you. Somebody said, well, a while back when Clinton, you know, said that Billy Graham got up before Clinton ever acknowledged anything, said, well, we should forgive it. You can't forgive a fellow that hasn't done anything. Somebody said, God forgives? God don't forgive till you repent. If God forgives everything, why please everybody going to heaven anyway? That's not love. That's not a godly love. Can I talk on that just a minute? I'm through, really. See, that's why people must repent toward God. The repentance must be suitable to God. It can't just be a little change of mind because you got caught or because your emotions are stirred. Bring forth suitable repentance. If your brother offend thee, trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. That's what the book says. Now, I was at a meeting during that time when Clinton came out and said that. And I went to church that night, and we said it that afternoon, we gave it on the news, TV news. And I asked the preacher that night, me and him sat down, we're good friends. I said, you see that president this evening? He said, yes. What'd you think about that? Well, he said he seemed to be sincere. I said, I'd hate to prejudge. He said, what do you think? I said, I think he's a phony, he's a $4 bill. He said, what makes you think so? I said, if his repentance had been real on adultery, you know the next words he'd have said? Send that abortion bill up here now, boys, and I'll sign it. You can't single out one sin and repent of it like that. Not when you're killing babies over here. You've got to repent because you got caught of this over here. You legalize this over here. He said he had a humble spirit and a strong heart. You can't have both. It's a broken spirit, a contrite spirit, and a broken heart. Psalm 34:18. You can't repent. See what he's saying? He repented in his mind because he got caught, but his heart is harder than ever. That's what I'm saying that for an illustration. Your repentance has to suit God. Now, if I trespass, if I was a member of this church, and I go out here and trespass against this church and bring a public offense, and the church calls me on the carpet, my repentance has to be suitable to this church. And repentance has been preached mighty shallow today. Had everybody made a trip to the altar somewhere and went to the mechanics. And the reason they don't live for God is because the repentance is not real. You want me to quit right there? Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. We'll never get our folks to live and turn on sin and be faithful to God until real repentance is wrought in their heart.